So through the weeks, you're going to get to know me as not only a pastor, but as an individual. But I want to help you out a little bit and give you a little background on who I am. Right now, we're videotaping. And this videotape is going to be posted online. And this message that I'm going to speak today isn't just for the brothers and sisters in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is rather a message that is going to the world church and to all of God's people in the Methodist Church, in the Baptist Church, in the Lutherans, in the Catholic Church, in the non-denominational churches. Because, you see, my brothers and sisters, when we talk about the Word of God, it is not to just particular denominations. It is going to people who Jesus died for. Amen? And so the message that I have to proclaim is a truth that goes to the entire world. And it is not just for us here in Arizona who belong to a particular denomination, but rather it is a message of hope in a time where there is no hope. It is a message of light in a time of darkness. And we no longer have the luxury of playing games of church. We no longer have the luxuries of thinking that I am special because of this way. I am special because of that way. We are only special because Jesus came and died for us, and we are brought into the kingdom because of what Jesus has done, not because of what we have done. Amen. Now, I'm so thankful that I have been assigned an international church. I want to encourage all my brothers and sisters to wear your national your wardrobe. I might come up here and wear an aloha shirt because my mom is from Hawaii, Waihiwa Oahu. My grandparents built the church in Kalua and Kapa'a. That's where Pastor Shane is pastoring right now. I might be up here with the borong. That's the national dress of the Philippines because my dad is from the Philippines. But you might say, Pastor Anderson, why is your last name Anderson? You're not 6 feet. You don't have blonde hair. You don't have blue eyes. And I'll tell you, because my great-grandfather was Scottish-Swedish from West Virginia. And he was a white guy. So if we're going to have any, maybe some church outings, you might see a little of my Swedish side when I'm wearing some shorts. But here's the thing. I was born and raised in the country called California. Because, see, a lot of people believe that our brothers and sisters in California belong in their own country. They believe a certain way. The judges and the laws are directed a different way down there. But let me tell you that there are Bible-believing, Christian-loving, Jesus-loving people in California, too. And I'm very familiar with Samoa and Tonga. I tell you what, in the last days when we're fleeing, I want those brothers and sisters with me. Because I tell you what, if I'm a persecutor, I'll think twice if I see a Tongan brother. My goodness. And those voices. Brother Jeff, you didn't even need a microphone. That was the voice of heaven. Did you not notice how God gifts this church with certain things? You know? And each one here is gifted with a special gift. Yes. And the reason why we are gifted is for the edification of not yourself, but rather the edification of the God's church. Yes. Now, why do we need the edification of God's church? Because we know that it is prophesied that in the last days, God's church will be persecuted. Yes. And we need each other to survive those times. So it doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter what culture you belong to. It doesn't matter what race or ethnicity, what country, what state you are from. We are all flags under one God. Amen. When you go out into your workplace, in your school place, it doesn't matter if you're working with Methodists, or Baptists, or Lutherans, or Catholics, or Jehovah's Witness, or Latter-day Saints, Because in God's eyes, they're just humans that need Jesus. Amen. Now, who are Seventh-day Adventists? Let me tell you that I am an ordained pastor in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And today I am preaching to you from a pulpit of a Seventh-day Adventist church. And many people who are watching this right now are saying, who are those Adventists? They're a little peculiar. They call themselves SDAs. Is that the same as LDS? Well, let me educate fellow pastors who are watching right now. And as we look down into the next several years of 2020, 21, 22, if you believe that there is a God in heaven, if you believe that Jesus came 2,000 years ago and died and was murdered on a cross, if you believe that Jesus is coming again, then you, too, are an Adventist. Today we had baptisms. You notice how we baptized here. We baptized by immersion because the Greek word for baptism is baptizo, which means to immerse. There is no other way to baptize. And therefore, World Church, if you believe in a baptism by immersion, you are also a Baptist. If you believe that you are saved rather by righteousness in faith of Jesus. How many of you believe that? Because a lot of people believe that Seventh-day Adventists have all these rules. We have been accused at saying that the only way to the kingdom is to have healthy diet. They don't know Adventists then. Because we don't believe that we can make it to heaven by our works. We are only saved through faith in Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And if we are saved by righteousness and faith in Jesus, then you are also a Lutheran. How many of you study God's word? Do you study verse by verse? Do you study chapter by chapter? Do you study by topic and subject? Do you do random? No. Because you're trying to understand the nature of God, the nature of man. If you study methodically, then you are a Methodist. How many of you believe that you are a member of the World Church of God who God died for?
Yes.
Then you're a Catholic. Because Catholic means Universal Church of God. That's what Catholic means, Universal Church. So you see, this message today is not to the Adventists. It is to a people who God died for. And it's time to eliminate titles. We don't have the luxury of playing church anymore because we are shown that the time could be very close to when Jesus is coming again. And don't be surprised when you start seeing Lutherans and Baptists and Methodists and Catholics all uniting with us to proclaim God, His faith, and the commandments.
Amen.
And the question that I have for each of us today is, are you ready for Jesus to come? Because there will also come a day when even God's people, there will not be all of us making it into the kingdom. And we don't know who won't make it into the kingdom. So it is our job to make sure that we're all in the kingdom. Now, I know how it is sometimes. Some of us, we look at each other and we say, oh, that person's not going into the kingdom because of such and such and such. Who are we to judge the actions of another person when God Himself died for that person? Rather, we ought to say, I hope and I pray that God remove the beam from my eye before I judge the little toothpick in His. Now, I want you to turn with me to a very important text that we often fail to look at when we deal with the second coming. And my 15 minutes is almost up already. But remember, I'm being recorded here, and I have a message to all my brothers and sisters around the conference and to the world. And it comes in Acts chapter 1. So open with me to Acts chapter 1. And I'll be done quickly here, but just follow along with me, Acts chapter 1. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Remember, time belongs to God, right?
Yes.
Okay, Acts chapter 1. And I want you to take a look at verse number 9. Now Jesus, he was already crucified. And he hung out with his disciples, and he was resurrected already. How long was he on the earth after the resurrection? 40 days. He stayed on the earth for 40 days, and now it's time for him to go. And I want you to notice something peculiar here that we often overlook. In verse 7, he says, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father himself has put in his own authority." Because the question was, is, Lord, when are you going to come again? And the first question that's asked is, when are you coming again? We have been asking that question since 1844. When are you going to come again? I've heard my grandfather preach it. We have preached it every week. And a lot of people around the world are beginning to get discouraged because they haven't seen Jesus come again. But Jesus had an answer. It is not for you to know the time or the seasons which the Father himself has put in his own authority. You see, here's the thing. Does it matter when Jesus comes? Or rather, is it more important to ask the question, are you ready for Jesus to come?
Yes.
Because for us, for you and I, my last day might be tonight. I might get in my car and I might drive, and some person, even though I'm a safe driver, they might actually hit me, and that's it for me.
Yes.
So for me, Jesus came.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying, sister? Brother?
Yes.
It doesn't matter when Jesus is going to come. Rather, the question you need to ask yourself when you leave here today is, are you ready when he does come?
Yes.
So don't put a date or a time on it. It is not within even Jesus' authority to know that. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the what? Here's the problem. We proclaim the gospel only within the walls of Jerusalem. We are so stuck looking at the other tribes of Israel in the walls of Jerusalem that we forgot about Judea. We forgot about Samaria, and we forgot to proclaim it to the world. My brothers and sisters, you have been gifted of all of the truth that exists on the planet. Seventh-day Adventists have been set aside to be guardians of a very divine truth that is unique. And it is no longer okay to keep it within the walls of Jerusalem. You are called to a royal priesthood. And I take this matter very serious because I want to go home, and it's no longer okay to play church.
Yes.
It is time to proclaim the message that there is a God in heaven. He sent his son to die. He resurrected on the third day, and he is coming again.
Yes.
And this is not a message for the Adventist church. This is a message to all humanity.
Yes.
So the message to the President of the United States, the message to the North Koreans, the message to all the countries of the world is, are you ready for Jesus to come? Because he's coming whether we like it or not. And you know what? I want to be there, and I want to say, thank you, Lord. I've been waiting.
Yes.
Rather than being the one who hides and cowers away.
Yes.
Now, I want you to look honestly in your heart. If Jesus really came tonight, what are you going to do? Honestly. I hope there's no one trying to hide for the shadows. I hope we're all running behind those Tongans. They're going to be my linebackers. They're going to clear the way for me. But all joking aside, brothers and sisters, this is my first message to us here. If I don't get to preach again, you need to know that Jesus is coming again. But here's the interesting thing. Look at verse 9. Now, when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, we read this, but I want you to really imagine this. We have never seen anything like this on the planet. There's all these people who watch Ancient Aliens on TV. They worry about UFOs and aliens. They read this and they say, see, there's evidence that there's aliens. Because Jesus himself was gathered up and ascended in a cloud. You know why that's important to us? Because the Bible says that in the last days there will be a false Christ. So deceiving that you will even be able to be deceived, the very elect. So let me tell you something. The angels themselves says, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in a like manner. Therefore, if you heard on CNN News that Jesus has arrived in the Vatican, do not believe it, because he will come in only one way. As lightning goes from the east to the west, every eye will see him. And if your eye has not seen Jesus come, that is not Jesus. Amen. We will not be deceived because we must follow the scriptures. So here's the challenge. Anything that I say on this pulpit should only come from scripture. Because you will be scrutinized for your own opinion. Therefore, place yourself aside, put your opinion aside, and only speak the words of God. We can no longer play church. We have to be God's church. And God's church is humble. God's church is grateful. God's church is patient. God's church is loving. That's a challenge for us today because we live in a world where people want to bring you down. You're going to go through trials and tribulations. You're going to leave here and you're now in the world. How are you going to be God's church in a world of darkness? That's why we need each other. To pray for each other. To remind ourselves of who we are and our calling. I'm so thankful that I'm here today. But I want you to know something. Jesus is going to come again in the clouds. And this message didn't come from men. Did you notice? The second coming message came from Jesus himself. Amen. Jesus himself, God himself said, I'm coming again. Amen. It wasn't an apostle who said it. It wasn't a disciple. It wasn't the early forefathers of our church. And it was ratified and vetted and verified by the word of two angels. Now, if a prophet received a vision and gave you the word that Jesus is coming again, you will believe it, won't you? But what if an angel of light came to you from heaven, from the throne of God, and said, Jesus is coming soon? Will you not believe it? Now, what if two angels came and said, Jesus is coming? Then that is even more power. There is nothing else for you to say or argue with. There is a Jesus. He's coming again. It was said by God himself, ratified and vetted through two angels from God. And he said he's coming in the like way that he left. And the question is are you ready for Jesus to come? Now, I want you to ask yourself this. I'm going to close now. If those same two angels came here today, I want you to imagine it. if those two angels were here and they came here in 2020, 2021, 2022, as we close the end of our time on planet Earth, what would they say to you? What would they say to you, and what would be your response? At this time, I want to invite you all to just bow your heads. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit at this moment to come in. And as you hear this message, the question of are you ready for Jesus to come, what would be your answer? Our brothers and sisters who are hearing this message for the first time, we know that you are coming soon. And Lord, we want to ask that you give us the Holy Spirit and guide us and lead us in these last days. Help us to be ready. Help us to stand in our place so that way when you do come, we can look up and say, this is my salvation. This is what I longed for. It's no longer okay, Lord, to play the role of church, but it's now time to be your church. And I pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each person here. We pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't cling to the world or its Lord, Are you ready for Jesus to come? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.